Welcome to Zichron Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechas Erev and Daf Pei. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara discusses whether a reluctant resident can be forcibly included in an Erev Rashitav. There was a Nachri who guarded over the town's weapons in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood, who refused to lease his rights to the residents in his chatzar, prohibiting them from caring. They came to Rabbi Zera, who told them that Rishu Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Hanina, a person's wife may join her family in an erev by contributing her husband's food, even without his consent. Shmuel said that similarly, if one regularly contributes to the shittah, but one week doesn't want to participate out of spite in order to prevent the residents from caring, the residents of that mavui may enter his home and forcibly take a sheet of contribution from him with his wife's permission, according to Tosfos. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Nismayid ha'ocha, if the sheet of food became diminished from the required amount before the onset of Shabbos, Mosif of Mazaka, one may add his own food to complete the required amount and confer ownership upon the other residents, ve'ein sarich lehodia, and he doesn't need to notify them even if he uses their food. Rashi explains that even though the residents must approve of their food for the shittuv, consent isn't needed in this case since they've already approved of the shittuv. The mission continues, Nitos ve'olen, if more residents were added to the original residents so that the shittuv food is insufficient for all of the residents, Mosif v'mazaka v'sarik v'hodiyah, one may add his own food to reach the required amount and confer ownership to the new residents, but he must notify them and solicit their approval if he desires to use their food. Rashi explains that all the residents must be permitted to eat any of the shittuv food. And point number three, the Mishnah states that the measure of food that must be contributed to the shittuv, bezman she'en merubim, when the residents are numerous, is mazon shtei se'udos l'chula, provisions equivalent to two meals for one person. Bezman she'en mu'atin k'gogeres l'kol echod ve'echod, when there are few, it's food equivalent to the volume of a dried fig for each one of the residents. Rabbi Yossi said, b'med var memurim, when are these rules of measurement said? B'tchilas Iruv, regarding the inception of the Iruv, when it is originally made, avobishiyari Iruv koshu, but with regards to the remnants of the Iruv, any amount is sufficient, and the food does not need to be replenished for the upcoming Shabbosim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama, who said that the food must be replenished. Rabbi Yuda said in the name of Shmuel that 18 residents or more qualify as numerous. So once again, the three points are. Point number one, the Gemara discusses whether a reluctant resident can be forcibly included in an Erev Rashitav. There was a Nachri who guarded over the town's weapons in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood who refused to lease his rights to the residents in his chatzir, prohibiting them from caring. They came to Rabbi Zera, who told them that Reish Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Hanina, a person's wife may join her family in an erev by contributing her husband's food, even without his consent. Shmuel said that similarly, if one regularly contributes to the shittah but one week doesn't want to participate out of spite in order to prevent the other residents from caring, the residents of that mavui may enter his home and forcibly take a sheet of contribution from him with his wife's permission, according to Tosfos. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, if the sheet of food became diminished from the required amount before the onset of Shabbos, Mosif v'mazakev, one may add his own food to complete the required amount and confer ownership upon the other residents, ve'ein sarich lehodia, and he doesn't need to notify them even if he uses their food. Rashi explains that even though the residents must approve of their food for the shittuv, consent isn't needed in this case since they've already approved of the shittuv. The Mishnah continues, Nitos ve'olen, if more residents were added to the original residents so that the shittuv food is insufficient for all the residents, Mosif v'mazaka v'sarik v'hodia, then one may add his own food to reach the required amount and confer ownership to the new residents, but he must notify them and solicit their approval if he desires to use their food. Rashi explains that all of the residents must be permitted to eat any of the shittuv food. And point number three, the Mishnah states that the measure of food that must be contributed to the shittuv, bezman she'en merubim, when the residents are numerous, mazon shtei se'udos l'chulam, provisions equivalent to two meals for one person. Bezman she'en mu'atim k'gorgeres l'kol echod ve'echod, when there are few, it's food equivalent to the volume of a dried fig for each one of the residents. Rabbi Yossi said, "B'med var memurim, when are these rules of measurement stated? B'tchilas Iruv, regarding the conception of the Erev, when it's originally made, aval b'shiyari Iruv, koshu, but with regards to the remnants of the Erev, any amount is sufficient and the food need not be replenished for the upcoming Shabbosim." Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama, who said that the food must be replenished. Rabbi Yuda said in the name of Shmuel that 18 residents or more qualify as numerous. All right, so now we go to our Siman from Daf Pei, and the Siman is payday, a payday, but to make it a little more concrete, we have wads full of cash in someone's pockets, wads full of cash. Here goes. The pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif to spite his neighbors. So his wife came along and, without his consent, added enough food to the diminished shitif for 18 residents. Once again, in slow motion. The pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets. Wads full of cash? That must mean we're on Daf Pei for payday. The pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif despite his neighbors. So his wife came along and without his consent, which reminds us, Ishto shel adam ma'arev shel medaito, a person's wife, may join her family in an erev by contributing her husband's food even without his consent. The pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif despite his neighbors. So his wife came along without his consent, added enough food to the diminished shitif, which reminds us what one must do if the erev became diminished before the onset of Shabbos, or if more residents were added to the current residents and the food in the shitif wasn't sufficient for all of them. So the pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif despite his neighbors. So his wife came along without his consent, added enough food to the diminished shitif for 18 residents. Which reminds us that the measure of food that must be contributed to the shitif when the residents are numerous is provisions equivalent to two meals for one person. And when they're few, it's food equivalent to the volume of a dried fig, a gregarious, for each one of the residents. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that 18 residents or more qualify as numerous. So once again, the pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif despite his neighbors. So his wife came along without his consent, added enough food to the diminished shitif for 18 residents. All right, now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Ein Vav. So the Simcha Ein Vav is an IV tube intravenous. So here goes. The sick construction worker on IV. IV, that must mean we're on Daf Ein Vav. The sick construction worker on IV hallucinated and saw a Beishar that morphed into a house at Beina Shmashos. Which reminds us, Rechava tested the Rabbanim with the following question. If there are two chatzeros with two houses between them, and one chatzer places its erev in the house which adjoins the other chatzer, and the other chatzer did the same and placed its erev in the house adjoining the other chatzer, do they each acquire an Erev or not? The question hinges on the following. Do we judge each house as the house for an Erev on the far side, and the house in between as a Beishar, a gatehouse, or do we judge each house as a Beishar to the Chatzah that adjoins it? The Rabban answered that either way they do not acquire an Erev. If each house is deemed a Beishar, it doesn't work, since an Erev in a Beishar is invalid. If each house is deemed a house, then each Chatzah would have to walk through a house that was not joined in its Erev. The Gemara clarifies that this is different than Beina Shmashos, which can be deemed halachically nighttime for some and daytime for others, since lo minkra milsa, it's not a noticeable thing, since the first part could be day and the latter part night. It's therefore not a clear contradiction, and people would take these halachas seriously. A house, however, must be either a house or a beishar, not both. Rashi explains that to consider it as a house to one person and as a beishar to another will make this halacha look like a joke. So the sick construction worker on IV hallucinating saw a beishar that morphed into a house at Beina Shmashos land on a chatzar wall with a square frame inside a round window. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the seventh parak states, Chalon sheben shtei chatzeros, arba'a arba'a baso chazara. In the case of a window between two chatzeros that is at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in size and located within 10 tefachim of the ground, ma'arvin shnaim, the residents of the two chatzeros may join in two independent erevs because they are still considered separate areas, or if they desire, they may join in one communal erev because the window connects them. Rashi explains that since the height of the wall to the window is less than the 10 tefachim minimum height of mechitza, and since the window's size qualifies it as a portal, the two chatzeros are considered connected and may join in an erev. Rabbi Yochanan said that a round window in the wall must have a circumference of 24 tefachim, and the lower two tefachim and a bit more must be within 10 tefachim of the ground, so that if one inscribes a 4x4 square inside the circle, it will be found the part of the square is within 10 tefachim of the ground. The Gemara analyzes this ruling. So the sick construction worker on IV hallucinated and saw a beishar that morphed into a house at Beina Shmashos land on a chatzar wall with a square frame inside a round window, separating homes with high windows and full of floating objects. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Loshanu el chalon sheben shtei chatzeros. This ruling was only learned regarding a window between two chatzeros, aval chalon sheben shnei batim, but a window that is between two houses, afil amal masar nami, even if it's completely above 10 tefachim, imratz ma'arvin echad. If the residents of the two homes want to join in one mutual erev, they may. The reason for this is, basic man damali dami, a house is regarded as being full of objects. Therefore, the window is considered as though it were not higher than 10 tefachim from the floor. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simra Ein Zayin is a goat. A goat. So here goes. The world-famous circus goats. Goats. That must mean we're on Daf Ein Zayin. The world-famous circus goats dance along the thin wall between the two chatzeros, which reminds us. The Gemara brings Malchokas regarding a wall between two chatzeros that is 10 tefachim high, but not 4 tefachim wide. Rav said, Avirshtei Rishu Yeshuatz Behem, the airspace of the two domains, meaning the unmerged chatzeros, control the top of the wall. Yazis bo afil mali nima, therefore one may not move anything on it, even as much as the fullness of a hair. The Gemara clarifies that the top is a makom patur, and it should be mutter to carry on top of the wall, and even to carry from the top of the wall to each chatzer, as we find that's permitted to carry from a makom patur to Rosh HaSiyachid and to Rosh HaRabim. However, Rav holds, Chachamim asu chizuk divrayim yosim mishal Torah. The Rabban strengthened their own enactments, meaning they were more machmir with the Isur Rabban out of concern that people will violate them in order to move things between two chatzeros than they were that people will violate an Isur D'oraisa in a similar situation. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav and holds that people can even carry food from their chatzer to the top of the wall since it's a makom patur. So the world-famous circus goats dance along the thin wall between two chatzeros, then did backflips down to the lower chatzer, which reminds us, Rav said in the name of Rav Huna, who said in the name of Rav Nachman, Koso sheben shtei chatzeros, a wall which is between two chatzeros, tzido echod gavo asor tfachim, if one of its sides is 10 tfachim high, but tzido echod shavu arts, and one of its sides is level with the ground of the other chatzer, which Rashi explains to mean that it doesn't reach a full 10 tfachim, noisin oso lezeh sheshavel arts. We give the use of the top of the wall to this chatzer, which its ground is level with the wall, mishum dehavu lezeh tashmish benachis, because for the resonance of the upper chatzer, it's easy to use, since the top of the wall is within 10 tfachim of the chatzer's floor. Lezeh tashmish bekasha, and for the resonance of the lower chatzer, its use is with difficulty. And in every case where one's chatzer's use is with ease and the other's use is with difficulty, noisin oso lezeh sheshavel arts. We give use of it to this chatzer for which the use is with ease. So the world-famous circus goats dance along the thin wall between two chatzeros, then did backflips down to the lower chatzer, before climbing back on a movable Egyptian ladder on their two hind legs. Which reminds us, the Gemara introduces a ruling regarding reducing the height of the wall below 10 tfachim, so that its top can be considered a pesach. Sulma mitzri ein memayit, v'hatzuri memayit. An Egyptian ladder doesn't reduce the height of the wall when leaned against it, but a Tyrian ladder does. An Egyptian ladder has less than four rungs, and a Tyrian ladder has four. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, asked Rav Ashi why the Egyptian ladder doesn't work to reduce the height of the wall, and Rav Ashi explained, Mishum dehavale davrishin nitu b'shabbos, because it's something that may be moved on Shabbos, but kol davrishin nitu b'shabbos ein mamayit, and anything that may be moved on Shabbos doesn't reduce the height of the wall. Since the Tzuri ladder is heavy, it will presumably not be moved on Shabbos, which makes it as if it's permanent. Daf ein ches, so the simfra ein ches is a child going ugh. So here goes. The mischievous kid who went ugh when he saw the bowl of spinach, child going ugh, that must be more in daf ein ches. The mischievous kid who went ugh when he saw the bowl of spinach, balanced it on a three tefachim peg stuck in a post, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Amud Bushas of Rabin Gavo Asar V'Rochav Arba, if a post that is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, thereby constituting a Rishus Yachid, stands in Rishus Rabim, V'Nadz Bo Yasid Koshuhu, and one wedged a peg of any size into the top of the post, the peg reduces some of the top surface area, rendering it a makom patur. The Gemara presents three interpretations of Rav Huna's ruling. Rav Ada Bar Ava said, Ugvo Shlosha, and the peg must be three tefachim high. Rashi explains that if it's not three tefachim, it's considered part of the top surface. Abai and Rava both said, Afo Pisha Ein Gavo Shlosha, even though the peg is not three tefachim high, it still renders the top of the post makom patur, since that part of the surface where the peg was put is not usable. Rav Ashi disagreed with both interpretations and said, Afil shegavo shloshet tfachim, even if the peg is three tfachim high, it doesn't render the top of the post makom patur because it's possible to hang something onto the peg. Rashi explains that since the peg performs a function of the post, it's considered as part of the post and not something that detracts from it. So the mischievous kid went ugh when he saw the bowl of spinach, balanced it on a three tfachim peg stuck in a post, then booby-trapped the ladders to get it by placing straw rungs in the middle. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef asked Rav what the halach is if one placed two ladders against the wall, each one less than two tfachim wide, and he put straw in the middle, which Rashi explains to mean that he pressed the straw into the shape of rungs and connect them to each ladder. Do we regard the ladders as having the requisite width of four tfachim? Rabbi answered, Ein kafarego olbehen, the ball of the foot cannot go up on them, since one usually steps on the middle part of the rung. Therefore, the straw rungs are not a valid extension. Rav Yosef then asked what the halach is if one affixed straw rungs on either side of a narrow ladder, and Rabbi responded, kafarego olbehen, the ball of the foot can go up on them, and therefore the straw rungs are a valid extension. So the mischievous kid went ugh when he saw the bowl of spinach, balanced it on a three tfachim peg stuck in a post, then booby-trapped the ladders to get it by placing straw rungs in the middle, and required climbing up on an asherah tree. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef asked, Asu le'ilan sulam mahu, what's the halacha if one made a tree into a ladder? Is the tree considered a pesach, which allows the two chatzeros to join in a mutual erev, even though one may not climb a tree on Shabbos? He then asks that if we rule that an ordinary tree can indeed serve as a ladder to be an erev, what's the halacha of one made in a shared tree and tall ladder? Since one gets hanah from the erev chatzeros, would it be permissible to use it? Rabbi answered that the tree is mutter and the asherah is aser. The Ritva explains that since it's permitted to use the tree as a pesach during the week, we view the Shabbos challenge as incidental and it doesn't affect the tree legal status as a pesach. Rabbi Yochanan said, and there are those that say that Rabbi Lazar said, Koshi is a Shabbos gormelo aser. The tree which cannot be climbed because of Hilchos Shabbos is aser, but the share which cannot be used for a non-Shabbos related reason is mutter. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak presents a third answer. Daf Ein Tes. So the Simra Ein Tes is an 8, a pen, and we use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles dropped his quill. Sofer and quill. That must mean we're in Daf Ein Tes. The distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles, which reminds us. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ein Ches on the base state that if a ditch between two chatzeros that was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide was filled with earth and pebbles, the two chatzeros must join in one common erev and not make two separate erevs. The Gemara says that this implies a afilu b'stama, even without the owner of the earth and pebbles stating intent that he wants to leave the earth and pebbles there, we view the ditch as if it's permanently filled. This contradicts the Mishnah in Olos that teaches that a house filled with straw or rocks is only considered filled if one specifically intends to leave them there permanently. Three answers were given. Rav Asi answered that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, with whom the Tana in Olos disagrees. Rav Huna Breda Rav Shua said that we cannot compare Tumah to Shabbos, as people would even abandon a wallet for the duration of Shabbos, since it's Moksa, but are less likely to abandon something because of Tumah. Rav Asi answered that people are more likely to be mevatel something in a ditch, as it's normal to fill in, than in a house that's not normal to fill in. So the distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles dropped his quill in a haystack separating two chatzeros, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Mas ben sheben shtei chatzeros gavoa sora tefachim, if a haystack between two chatzeros is 10 tefachim, ma'arvin shnayim ve'ein ma'arvin echad. The resonance may make two independent eruvs, but may not make one eruv. El ma'achilin mekan ve'el ma'achilin mekan. The resonance of the chatzeros may feed their animals from here, meaning the haystack, and so may the other residents. Rashi explains that we're not concerned that their animals will eat so much straw that the height of the haystack will shrink below 10 tefachim, causing the chatzeros to merge and prohibit caring. Rav Huna said regarding feeding the livestock, as long as the owner doesn't put straw in his basket to feed the animals. Rashi explains that the reason that this is forbidden is either because he might take too much and reduce the height of the mechitza, or because the straw is muksa. So the distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles dropped his quill in a haystack separating two chatzeros while knocking over an Eved Ivri holding a barrel, a tefach, off the ground. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ketsa mishtatfin b'mavui, how do we make a shitu for a mavui? So one places a barrel containing food and declares, let this belong to all the residents of the mavui, umazakalahen, and he may confer ownership to them through his adult son, daughter, or through Jewish servants or his wife. Rav Yudah said, Chavishal shitu fa'im avos, sarich lahagbi aminakarka, tefach. The barrel that's being used for shitu fa'im avos must be lifted at least one tefach off the ground, otherwise it remains in the domain and control of its owner. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do you learn that a wife can contribute to a shituf on behalf of the family without the consent from her husband? That's on daf pay. Good. Number 2, which daf do you learn that a haystack between two chatzeros can be used to feed the animals since there's no concern that it will be diminished below 10 tefachim? That's on daf ein tes. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have a question if one can make an ordinary tree or an asherah tree into a ladder to allow chatzeros to make a mutual erev? That's on daf ein ches. Good. Number 4, which daf do we learn the klal that the right to establish leniency as an erevin must be found in the wording of the Mishnah? That's on daf ein dal. Good. Number 5, which daf do we learn that a sulam mitzri does not reduce the height of the wall since it's movable and the rule is kol davar shenitel ein mamai? That's on daf ein zayin. Good. Number 6, which daf do we have a makos regarding what to do if one of the residents of an outer chatzer forgets to participate in a joint erev that was placed in the inner chatzer? That's on daf ein hey. Good. Number 7, which daf do we learn what the amount of food is that must be contributed for a shitiv when there are 18 or more residents? That's on daf pay. Good. Number 8, which daf do we learn that Rav Yudah says one needs to lift the barrel being used to make the shitiv at least one tefach off the ground? That's on daf ein tes. Good. Number 9, which daf do we learn what to do if the shoot became diminished before the onset of Shabbos? That's on daf pay. Good. And number 10, which daf do we learn that straw rungs placed between two narrow ladders does not extend the length of the rungs to give the ladder the status of a Pesach. That's on Daf. Ein Ches. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which Daf do you learn about Kol Isha? That's on Daf. Chaf Dalet and Brachos. Good. Number two, which Daf do you learn about the special spice of Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kafut Tes. Good. And number three, which Daf do we have the question? Ezuhu Asher. That's on Daf. Chaf Hey and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.